This podcast from News Talk WHCU is sponsored by Brightworks Computer Consulting. Call 277-8585. Monday morning on News Talk WHCU, and it's time once again for 2-Year Health presented by the Cougar Medical Center. And we're joined once again by Dr. Simon from the Sports Medicine and Athletic Performance at the Cougar Wellness Center. And this morning, we are taking a look at hip impingement. So I suppose, Dr. Simon, that is where we begin. You tell me to start, what is an impingement?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me here today. I'm going to talk about groin pain, which is common in many people, but it can be secondary to an entity called hip impingement. We have known this concept since 1936, but this has drawn more attention over the past decades, where there's more research going on and as far as treatment and surgeries. So just to kind of brief up on small anatomy portion, the hip joint is a ball and socket joint, which is formed by the head of the thigh bone called femur and the socket, which is a part of the pelvic bone called acetabulum. Now, femoral acetabular impingement, also commonly called as FAI, is something we're going to talk about today. It refers to abnormal contact between the head of the femur bone and the rim of the socket. Now, this can be of two types. Two different types are: one is a cam impingement or cam deformity and a pincer deformity. Cam deformity refers to the head of the femur or the ball of the ball and socket joint not spherical or not perfectly round, and that can lead to this abnormal contact. And the other is a pincer deformity, which refers to the rim, which is over covering the femur head or the ball of the ball and socket joint. Well, now, the combination,
Well, I was just, when you talk about the ball and socket joint, it makes perfect sense that, you know, when you have problems like this, it would either be the ball or it would be the socket, or perhaps in some cases it could be both. Now, you referred to it as FAI, and I will try to pronounce this, femoroacetabular impingement. How did I do?
Perfect.
Well, you're too nice, Dr. Simon. So what are the signs and symptoms then?
So in either deformity, there are more forces that go through the hip joint during bending of the hip, which we call flexion, and repetitive movements which involve bending of the hip or extreme range of motion can cause soft tissue injury and inflammation in that area. Main symptom of FAI is motion-related or position-related pain in the hip, which is chiefly pointed towards the groin pain. Now, sometimes it can be the pain in the back or even in the buttocks or thighs. Usually, patients will report that pain is exacerbated by repetitive activities, and sometimes even it can be affecting on their sitting postures. Now, it can really affect sports participation as well. Now, in addition to pain, other symptoms that people can report is clicking, catching, sometimes locking or stiffness in the joint with a restricted range of motion. Usually, when the symptoms start, it's very mild early on, and the process is very insidious, and it can take many years, maybe sometimes, before things get really out of hand and symptoms escalate.
Very interesting. Dr. Simon, our guest from the Sports Medicine and Athletic Performance with our Cayuga Medical Associates for 2-Year Health this morning. So it may start out as just some mild groin pain, and it may take years to develop into a worsening situation. So if that were the case, Dr. Simon, how do you go about diagnosing FAI?
Usually we diagnose FAI as a comprehensive evaluation. It's not dependent on one single thing or sign. Thorough examination of the hip joint is performed, which is aided by the history and the imaging studies. Range of motion upon testing is usually slightly decreased upon internal rotation. Mm-hmm. While these things are just suggestive, we really need the x-rays to necessarily to establish the presence of these hip deformities. Now, having said that, some patients, even if we have these abnormalities, can be completely asymptomatic. So sometimes MRI is needed for evaluation of these deformities, along with other soft tissue problems like labral tears and the anatomy of the femoral head neck junction and cartilage.
Dr. Simant, there is no single clinical sign to diagnose FAI, but once you get that diagnosis, how do you begin the treatment?
Again, that's a little challenge there because there's no ideal treatment so far that we know of. Treatment options are first few options include conservative management, rehabilitation, and the last resort is usually surgery. Initial treatment is non-operative, and we try to just keep an eye on, observe, educate the patient, activity modification, pain control. Comprehensive management overall includes physical therapy, which plays a very important role. There's a focus on improving hip stability, neuromuscular control, improved strength, range of motion, and even movement patterns on how you use the hip. Athletes often must modify their training and participation in competition if they're symptomatic. If simple medications like NSAIDs or ibuprofen does not control the pain, and if the pain becomes severe, there's always this option of ultrasound-guided corticosteroid hip injection, which would provide relief, so also as a diagnostic purpose for that.
So, Dr. Simant, then, what if those treatments fail?
So if we have tried these treatments for 3 to 6 months, we don't find any relief, then we talk about surgery and say refer our patients to the orthopedic surgeons. Now, surgery can be performed either open or arthroscopic technique. They do osteoplasty of the ball to kind of make it more spherical and more appropriate for the socket. There's an option at that time if there's any lateral injury that can be addressed as well. Usually, surgical outcomes are very good, and with approximately 70 to 75% patients reporting improvement in symptoms and function. Athletes have actually successfully returned to sports. But again, data is limited. This is a new area of research, and long-term results are still lacking to report.
So then let's say that you get the diagnosis of having FAI syndrome, Dr. Simant. What's the prognosis of having an abnormality in your hip joint like that? Can you still lead a normal life? Can you still participate athletically?
Yes, that's a great question. And patients who have been treated for FAI, their symptoms frequently improve and they return to full activity, including sports. Mm. Usually without treatment and appropriate management, symptoms can worsen over time. But again, I would add to that their long-term outlook is still unknown as far as like full functionality and frequency of pain. But based on what we have right now, we definitely know, and it's a general consensus, that there is increased risk of early osteoarthritis because of the abnormality of the biomechanics in the hip joint. And it's unknown if we do the surgery, whether the surgical treatment will prevent that hip osteoarthritis from later in life or not.
So although this concept's been around since 1936, the science is burgeoning, and so there is, at least at this point, a lack of long-term understanding of this FAI. But if I could, just for the just try to pronounce this one more time in front of you, Dr. Simant.
Yeah.
Femoral acetabular impingement, how did I do?
Awesome. That was great.
FAI, and it is certainly worthy of note as fall sports get into the swing of things with our guest, Dr. Simant from Sports Medicine and Athletic Performance at the Cuga Wellness Center and the Cuga Medical Associates. Dr. Simant, always good to catch up with you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.